Amen. Title of our message for this afternoon, the world does not look redeemed. The world does not look redeemed. After starting his own studio, he thought what would really help it to get off the ground if he developed a cartoon character. So he had his chief sketch artist draw up some figures, and so he came up with frogs and dogs and cats and cows and horses, but nothing seemed to work. But one day, as he was walking, he saw a dead mouse on a train track. So he asked his artist to draw a mouse character. And I think you already know the end of the story. That character became the theme for Walt Disney. That mouse was first called Mortimer Mouse. And thanks to the wisdom of his wife, she changed it to Mickey. And the rest is history. Today, Mickey Mouse is the most recognized symbol in the world. The works of the Disney Company are the most translated works in the world. Mickey Mouse was the first cartoon character to have his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And the Walt Disney Company is the third largest media entertainment corporation in the world, with 11 theme parks and several TV networks, including ABC. All of this from a dead mouse. So what I'm about to share with you should not be so unbelievable. And I'd like to share with you a general outline of the story of redemption. This weekend is not about peeps and chicks and jelly beans. It's about what happened 2,000 years ago. A plan that was put in place according to Revelation 13 and verse 8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And according to John chapter 3 and verse 17, most of us know 16, 17 is equally as important a verse. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is the plan, that Jesus would come to this world and die for us in our place. The plan of redemption. And so let's review this plan of redemption and see if it's more credible than that of a mouse story. God came to this world, I know we all know this, at Christmas time as a baby. He grew up in Egypt and Nazareth, and in the area surrounding Jerusalem. He more than irritated the religious leaders of his day. And so they turned him in to the local government and caused the local government to be afraid of him. The more you are, this is my idea, the more you are a person of truth and integrity, the more dangerous you become to the government, any government. Well, you don't have to agree with me, but it's true. Two thousand years ago, they condemned Jesus to death. And this doesn't look like redemption. The local government leader pronounced on Jesus the death sentence. We honor this weekend because of the crucifixion. It was one of the cruelest forms of death ever devised by humanity. The cross was considered so horrible and dishonorable that it could be only decreed against slaves and non-Romans. Even among the slaves, it was reserved for the most serious crimes, such as murder, temple theft, stealing from the church, high treason and insurrection. But we often forget that when a person was sentenced to be crucified, they were also sentenced to be scourged. Mark 15, verse 15, and Matthew 27 and verse 26. You'll see those accounts. One commentator said that Pilate thought that after he scourged Jesus, that it would satisfy the crowd, that maybe they would not want him to be crucified. Oh, how wrong he was. You see, the scourge was just as bad as the cross itself. In fact, some say worse. The historian Josephus, in the second book of the Jewish Wars, talks about the scourging and how the lacerations were so severe on many that their insides were actually laid out bare. In fact, it was dangerous to do scourging because many people died before they ever got to be crucified, because they did not limit the number of blows to the individual. And the instrument was often laced with metal and bone. So many people died from those wounds. And so when Mark 15:15 says that Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified, it meant that he first handed him over to the soldiers so that they could play their games on Jesus. And that's why Jesus could not carry the cross beam. Not the entire cross. When you see people simulating carry the cross, only the cross beam. Jesus could not even carry the cross beam. But I don't know, but he had to be in top physical condition just to endure the scourging. It would have killed the average person. And so we at least see Jesus carrying the cross beam, and that's why he had to have Simon of Cyrene help him carry the cross. And then in Mark 15, we again in that account see Jesus being nailed to the cross. And the soldiers had a right to your clothing, at least the Romans thought, and so they gambled for his clothes. I even read a commentary that said his armor, his undergarments, and his sandals was a part of his clothing, and they were gambling for that too. You know, we like a sanitized Jesus. We like to picture the cross and the crucifixion very sanitized, but it was not. And then bystanders and passersby taunted and mocked Jesus. And they said, if you be the Christ, come down from the cross, and then we will believe. You believe that? Nah. They were saying, in essence, a Messiah would never allow himself to carry a cross. Would never allow himself to suffer as Jesus did. But a real Messiah would crush and annihilate his enemies. And so at the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., Jesus, and this is when it doesn't look like this redemption thing is working. Because Jesus, just before he dies, quotes Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, does that sound like a winning formula? Come on, be honest. Does that look like redemption? Jesus crying out, and really, if you can put in there, we use the word forsaken. My God, why have you deserted me? That's what it says. That's more attuned to what we can understand. Does that sound like redemption? Doesn't sound like victory to me. Some in the crowd says he's calling for Elijah. In Mark 15:34 through 37, gives a loud cry and breathes his last breath. Is the world redeemed? His friends take down Jesus' body and bury him in a borrowed tomb. Death and darkness. Nothing about this says redemption. Sounds pretty far-fetched. God becoming man, living a sinned life, keeping the law, being sacrificed for this world. Have you seen this world lately? Would you die for this world? You know, Satan knows how to use death against us. For he uses death to destroy our faith in God. That's why Satan likes wars. He likes confusion. And he likes destruction. Because people die. And it shakes. Now there's some things. We hear about death. We let it slip on by us. But if it happens in a certain way, or if it happens to a certain person, I guarantee you'll feel it. I don't know how you explain. How do you explain this story about a woman who's on a boat and a stingray hops up out of the water, hits her, I'm not sure where, and she hits her head and dies. How do you explain that? Does that look like redemption? Would Jesus get good marks for something like that? That's a difficult one to explain. It challenges our faith. And Satan loves that. And so he causes mess after mess to challenge our faith. You don't believe it? Go back and read Genesis 3 again. And then the Bible says that in the last days, he's going to challenge our faith with more and more mess. I'll read it for you, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You know it. You don't even have to turn there. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Does the world look redeemed? Friday, death. Saturday, burial. Oh, how depressing. But I got good news for you. Good news. You know, I love the cross. But you have to join the cross with the resurrection. Do you know Satan will even use the cross? He don't mind if you wear a cross around your neck. He have rap artists, after spewing out all the filthy lyrics, they'll have a cross around their neck. Come on, y'all know this the truth. Am I right? Satan doesn't care if you wear a cross. They have sports stars and all of the stuff they get into, and they'll get up there to wherever it is they're going to play and do the sign of the cross. Make the sign of the cross. Satan doesn't care if you wear a cross, but he doesn't want you to put the cross and the resurrection together. You know why? Because with the resurrection, death is not the final word. He doesn't want you to know that. He wants to floor you with death. He wants to take away your faith. So he doesn't like you to put the two together. You know that there's still a nasty rumor going around about Jesus and the crucifixion and what happened on the cross. They say that Jesus was drugged up on the cross. I kid you not, this is written by somebody who considers themselves a scholar. You know, when they had the sponge, the vinegar-laced sponge, they say that really wasn't, what it was opium, belladonna, and hashish. And they put it over Jesus' nose and mouth so that he could be unconscious. They get him off the cross real quick, and then they revive him. That's written by somebody who considered themselves a religious scholar. You know, I find it interesting that something as beloved, and again, I'm making my point, so those who don't like Disney and the Mouse, please, I'm trying to make a point, okay? Don't beat me up at the door over that, okay? Please. Mickey Mouse is revered by many, okay? But yet, it's used in a pejorative type way. Mickey Mouse is considered negative. If somebody calls you Mickey Mouse, they're not complimenting you. I mean, it's considered, kind of amateurish or poor quality or trivial. They do the same, devil does the same thing with Jesus. You hear Jesus' name used in every other way but the right way. People will stub something, their toe, their foot, whatever, and they'll call out his name. And it's not in a complimentary way. But I want to let you know, the world may not look like it's redeemable, but what Jesus did on the cross and his rising early the first day of the week did everything that this world needed. And whether or not you see it or not, this world, because of Jesus, will never be the same again. Never. That's why the devil likes to put as much negativity to Jesus as he can, even in the church. You'll tell people will tell you, you're preaching too much Jesus. I know, and that's not here. That's not here. I've never heard that here at Fallbrook. And I know you would never say that. If I preach Jesus from now until when I leave this church, you would not criticize me, would you? Because you never get too much of Jesus. Amen? But the devil likes you to think that. You see, what's important is that when Jesus rose from the dead, he in essence was saying that death is not the final word. You see, resurrection restores where death intrudes. And that is what Jesus does. Sometimes we don't always look like we're redeemed. But that doesn't mean we're not redeemed. You see, it's not always what's on the outside, but it's who is on the inside. I got this article. Can I have five more minutes? I need five more minutes. I'm not going to finish. I got to have five, 6 more minutes at the most, okay? I got this from the Wall Street Journal, of all papers. It was an article last year, July 14th of last year, and it was entitled, In Europe, God is Not Dead. Because most people think Europe is gone, you know. They don't pay any attention. But the article was talking about something happening there. And it focused on Sweden. One reason I think it did this was because Sweden, up until the year 2000, had an institutional church that it supported, a state church. And it talked about this particular article about the Stockholm Hedvig Elnora Church, a parish in Stockholm. And it talked about the scene of 40 people, mostly elderly people, sitting in church. And 7 of the 40 were church employees. They gathered beneath the 18th century church with the high dome that seats 1,000 people. I want you to picture that, 40 people in a church that seats 1,000. The church, that particular church, has 3 full-time ministers. And that church has a head of, it would be our church board, but they have a board there, and they have the head of the board. And she says these words. She said, I took this position as head of the board with one condition. Let me read it. She says, that no one expects me to go to church each Sunday. They scrapped Sunday school the year before because they could only muster up 5 children. That's church. The world doesn't look redeemed. But down the block, 3 blocks down, there was a gentleman who had visited Florida, from Sweden, he visited Florida and found Jesus. Came back to Sweden, opened up a church 3 blocks down, has 100 members he gathered in 8 months. You know what they discovered? Now, I want you to listen to this. You don't want to miss. I want to make sure you get this. They did more studies on this. You know what they found? Because they were confused. They could not understand how a country with all the stuff that goes on in the U.S., how in the world that we could have 50% of our people go to church at least once a month. Europe could not figure that out. You know, we do a lot of stuff here that's not right. But there's some things we do right. And they couldn't figure out why we were going to church like that. You know what they found out? When they did studies, they found out that countries that had state-sponsored churches were declining. When the state gets connected with religion, it goes down. The reason why we are still coming to church, and I say it all the time in my prayer, because we have the freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. So I'm telling you today, the world doesn't always look like it's redeemed, but I'm telling you, there's redeemed people in this world. Because what Jesus did on the cross did everything that we needed to be saved happened 2,000 years ago on this weekend. Everything. Now, I want you to keep eating your veggie meat. I want you to keep putting tithes in the plate. Amen. But it's what happened 2,000 years ago on this weekend that saves us. Everything you needed to be saved was done. Jesus said, it is finished. And let me tell you what the Bible says the redeemed looked like in the last days. Let me read this passage and then we'll go. Revelation 14. I I want to read at least one scripture to you. Revelation 14. This is what the Bible says the redeemed look like. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's you. That's you. You don't need to leave here today without believing that you are redeemed. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that you are redeemed? Oh, y'all don't sound like it. Do you believe that you're redeemed? That God has forgiven you of your sins? Oh, yes, He has. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Are you working on some things? Yes, you are. Do you have it all together? No, you don't. Are you redeemed? Yes, you are. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Oh, may that give you encouragement. Amen? I want you to believe that. You know what? If you can't believe that, you won't act like that. Amen? They go together. You have been redeemed by His blood. And the fact that He lives, He rose, He's alive. May that encourage you today. May that give you hope. That same Jesus is coming back to take you to be with Him throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. May that be your prayer. That's mine. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we thank You. We praise You. What a great God You are. Lord, we don't always look redeemed. We don't always feel redeemed. But You redeemed us just the same. All we have to do is accept You. Believe on You. Repent. Give You our hearts. Let You take control of our lives. Lord, we give You our lives again this day. And thank You for what You did, what You mean to us, what You did for the entire world. All they need to do is embrace and accept You. Oh, Lord, may that happen today. If there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today that has not accepted Jesus, that redemption that was planned, that was laid from the foundation of the world, oh, you ought to do that today. You ought to accept Him. You ought not let this weekend get by without accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. If that's your prayer today, let me know about that. You can come to my class and be a part of my class as we talk about the beliefs of the church. You can be baptized into God's remnant church. You let me know if that's your prayer. We'll honor that in Jesus' name. Amen.